If you'll open up with me this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and verse 18. Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18. This is known as the Great Commission.
Amen.
You know, has the church ever heard of the Great Commission?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This church right here should know a lot about the Great Commission. Not only do we preach it, but we do it. Amen.
Amen.
As I get ready to leave for Uganda and Kenya tomorrow, I was trying to think this morning how many trips this may be for me. I've lost count just about. And the best I could recollect was flying from America to Thailand since 2002. Yeah, in 2002 is when I began in Thailand. And I think this is about the 47th trip to Thailand, Cambodia, and Myanmar. 47 trips, round trips, round the earth 47 times. I looked up on the internet this morning, how many miles does it take to fly around the earth one time? Starting at the center of the equator, it's 24,901 miles. 24,901 miles to fly around the earth once. It's 19,000 and some change just to get from America to Thailand. 19,000. So by the time you add all the little commuter flights that I take after I get to Thailand, I fly from Bangkok to Chiang Rai or Chiang Rai to Chiang Mai or Mae Sai, or fly from there to Yangon and from Yangon to Kalimiel up in Myanmar. You fly all these smaller flights and they take about an hour most of the time. And then you add Africa in. I've been going with Pastor Kenny for many, many years to Kenya and Uganda and Malawi. And if you add all those trips up, it's 10 plus or more to Africa. So you got about 57 to 60 round trip flights. And that's just about 60 round trip around the earth.
Wow.
I flew more than the astronauts by the grace of God.
Amen.
I was thinking about that because sometimes we don't think about the journey.
That's right.
But the Great Commission is a great journey. Jesus said in Matthew 28 in verse 18, he said, behold, he said, I have all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus told his disciples at the end of his ministry, right before he ascended into heaven, he said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. He gave that authority to them. And he rose and he went and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. But his ministry, he never planned on his ministry to end with him.
That's right.
It continued with us.
Amen.
The body of Christ. That's why he told his disciples, he said, I'm going to anoint you. He said, I'm going to anoint you and I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's Mark chapter 16, verse 15. In Matthew, he said, go into all the world, every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's known as the Great Commission. Every church needs to understand that every church has a calling, and that is to take the gospel not only in our communities, not only in our states, not only in our nation, but to all the nations of the world. That's known as the Great Commission. Some churches implement the Great Commission in their churches, and some do not go to the nations of the world. Those that don't, hopefully they are supporting those that do. Harvest Time Church was established by Jesus Christ. He gave us the name. He put the international on the back of it. Harvest Time Church International. I asked the Lord many times, and Lord, why don't we have international? That sounds like a big name that goes on a big church that's got thousands of people in it, maybe. The Lord said, I'm calling you to go internationally, to go to the world. And he said, I want you to fulfill the Great Commission. That's part of your calling. So this morning, as I stand before you, I want you to understand what Harvest Time Church is all about.
Amen.
What God has called us to do.
That's right.
The Bible says that the people need to understand the vision. You need to write the vision down, make it plain so the people can see it and run with it.
That's right.
Well, our vision has always been about winning souls.
That's right.
The Great Commission is involving evangelism. It involves in preaching the gospel to every creature. And you learn a lot of things when you begin to travel outside of the American church. If you've never been outside the American church, your perception of what church may be like is only what you have seen or experienced in church in America. And y'all know how we conduct our services in America.
That's right.
A lot of you could go to a different church this morning and just about experience the same, the type of singing and maybe prayer and preaching. But when you go outside the doors of the Church of America, you find out that not everybody in the world does church service just the way you do.
That's right.
They have church services in the jungles this morning.
That's right.
They have church services in deserts. There's people coming to church this morning that didn't have a Cadillac, but they got in a canoe. And they paddled their family down the river to get to the nearest church to them. And they got in a canoe to go to church. Some people don't have a car. And I have experienced through traveling that there's tons of people walking to church on Sunday morning. Amen. They're walking. They don't have a way of transportation, but they're getting there at all costs. If they have to walk, they walk. If they can catch a motorcycle, they catch a motorcycle. If they got a bike, they ride a bike. But most people overseas don't have cars.
That's right.
Very few people can afford them.
Right.
But they still, their churches have more people than our churches. And they don't have a way of transportation. They have a hunger in the nations of the world that sometimes is lacking here in America. I think sometimes the church in America has got way too comfortable and way too complacent.
Amen.
And it's too easy for them. It's a take it or leave it type thing about coming to church in America.
That's right.
But in the world, they have to trust in God. If they don't, they die.
That's right.
If they don't trust in God, they don't eat. If they don't trust in God, they don't have water. If they don't trust in God, their kids don't have clothes.
That's right.
They have to put a lot of trust and faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they follow Him without the comforts of this life. But they praise Him and worship Him radically.
Amen.
You can't hardly stop the Africans from worshiping God.
That's right.
They're looking for an opportunity to get up and sing in the same praises them to God. Their floors this morning in Africa would not be with carpet. They would be dirt floors in a lot of the churches. And when those Africans stand up there, they'll have 15 or 20 people come to the front and they start dancing. They start praising God. They'll stir up so much dust inside the church, you can't hardly see through the church.
Amen.
For dust. They're stirring it up. They're dancing for the Lord. I'm trying to tell you this morning that what God has called us to do here at Harvest Time Church may be a little different than some churches. Some people approve of what we're doing. Some people say the pastor's gone too often. But I've had several people tell me, you know, you need to stay here more often, your church would grow. And the answer inside of me, if I stay here and don't go, this church would die.
Right.
It would die.
Right.
Because I would be in disobedience to what God called me to do.
Amen.
Jesus said in the scriptures, he said he didn't come to save the righteous, but bring sinners to repentance.
That's right.
And he said there's time when you have to, the shepherd has to leave the 99,
uh-huh,
and he has to go after the one.
That's right.
It may be one nation, one person, or one family, but you have to go to the world, and you have to go outside the doors of your local church to win the lost.
Amen.
I remember Ron Hart Bunkey saying one time that he was in Africa, and there were some pastors gathered together, and he overheard them talking, and they were talking about, they were fasting and they were praying for the lost to be saved. And when he heard them, he came over to them and he asked them, he said, yeah, we're fasting and we're praying for the lost to be saved. He said, well, they won't get saved that way.
Come on.
He said, what do you mean? He said, well, you can fast and pray, but unless you send somebody out to preach the gospel, they won't get saved.
Amen.
You can fast and pray all night long and not tell nobody. That's why Jesus said you got to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preaching the gospel is a necessity to getting people born again. If you don't preach the gospel, they don't know about Jesus. If they don't know about Jesus and what he's done for them, they can't get saved. If they don't get saved, they don't go to heaven. They go to a place in eternity called hell.
That's right.
Amen. Look at Romans chapter 10 this morning. Romans chapter 10. I believe it's around verse 14. Let me cover this with you. This church here is a soul-winning church. Everybody in here should be equipped to lead somebody to Jesus. Okay?
Amen.
Just coming to church is good and fine and dandy. That's where you get your growth from. That's where you learn the things of the Word of God and learn how to apply them in your life. But we should never forget that all of us are called to win somebody to the Lord.
Amen.
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 We should never get comfortable just saying, well, that's the pastor's job, that's the evangelist's job, that's Benny Hinn's job, that's Ron Hart Bunkey's job, that's Billy Graham's job, but that's not me. Everybody is called to win somebody to the Lord.
Amen.
You will be places that I won't ever be sometime.
Right.
I may never go to your work zone, your workplace. I may never meet the people that you meet. God puts people in your life so you can represent Jesus and share the gospel with people that they might be saved. Amen? You have to sow the seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody is responsible for that. Please don't take that lightly. Please don't overlook that and put it on somebody else and say, that's their job. God never called me to that. Oh my, you may be at the hospital sometime and a family is crying over a loved one laying there in the bed about to die, and they need somebody to tell that person in that bed before they leave about Jesus. And God puts you in that place, in that hall, in that hospital to hear that conversation, that the Holy Spirit could speak to you and say, you are the one that I have chosen to lead that man, that woman to Jesus today.
Amen.
But so often we run from those opportunities. Instead of to them, we run away.
That's right.
With disappointment, knowing I had an opportunity, but I missed it. Why did we miss it? Because of fear of what somebody may think about us. You got to get past the fear of what somebody thinks about you to lead others to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Let's read verse 13 because that's very important. I'm going to back up just one more, a little bit more. Because if you're going to lead somebody to Jesus, this is the scriptural way for you to lead somebody to Jesus. You want to know the Bible way? You want to do it the right way? You want to make sure they know Jesus and what he did? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Here's how you lead somebody to Jesus. All you have to do is open your Bible or meditate on this long enough to memorize what this scripture says. When you go to jail, it's how you lead them to the Lord. You see somebody on the street, it's how you lead them to the Lord. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
Y'all hear that?
Amen.
Two things. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that the Lord, that Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead. You believe that. You ask people, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you? Yes. Hallelujah. Do you believe that God rose him from the dead on the third day? Yes. Will you accept him as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in verse 13, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. If they call on the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. Saved means to be born again. The Word of God says in John chapter 3, verse 3, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For a man to walk through the pearly gates into the kingdom of God, first he must be born again. If he has not been born again, he is not allowed through those gates.
That's right.
Amen. He will not enter into the kingdom of God. It don't remind, listen, that's why we need to preach the gospel, because the gospel is good news. And when you preach the gospel, you're preaching repentance. You're preaching a man must be born again. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, when you travel the world, you find out everybody ain't Christians.
That's right.
Everybody in this nation here confesses to be a Christian, but I don't believe all of them are Christians.
That's right.
They don't act like Christians.
They don't.
They don't look like Christians. They don't smell like Christians. They don't talk like Christians. You can't even get them to go to church, read their Bible, or have a moment of prayer, but they claim to be Christians.
Come on.
Somebody has not told them the truth. But if we preach the gospel, the Buddhists will be saved.
That's right.
The Hindus will be saved. At least they'll have an opportunity to be saved. That's why we go to these nations of the world. You go to Indonesia, you're preaching to Islam. You're preaching to the Muslims. Been there, done that. Been into the Hindu countries of Guyana, South America, in the jungle. Preached Jesus, saved many in the jungles of Guyana. Over in Thailand, in Asia, in Cambodia, China, Laos, Vietnam, all those countries are predominantly 98% Buddhist.
Right.
That means they serve idols. But you know what I've experienced? Is when we go, take the time to pack our suitcases, put the Word of God within us, have an unction and the power and the calling to go to the other nations of the world. Get on that plane. Get off of that plane on foreign soil and go preach to the idol worshippers and preach Jesus. Not explain him, but preach him. And when you preach him, hallelujah, the Spirit of the living God will move upon the hearts of those Buddhists, those idol worshippers, and they will come to Jesus as fast as you preach it.
Right.
But if they don't know, they can't be saved.
That's right.
And they don't change if they don't know. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Highlight this in your Bible. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How are they going to believe if they haven't heard?
That's right.
And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
Y'all, I'm telling you, how shall a preacher go unless he be sent?
That's right.
Preacher just can't go. He got to be sent. First of all, he got to be sent by God. Amen?
Amen.
God got to call him. Well, I know within my heart, with all my heart, that God told me to go to the nation of Thailand and back to Asia to win the lost. Once I got to Thailand, I served the Lord probably for 12 years in Thailand before he spoke to me and said, I want you in Cambodia. So, praise God, be going to Cambodia. Here the Bible says, if we abide in him and he abides in us, we shall bear fruit.
That's right.
Fruit not for our own glory, not for the fruit that will bring glory to Harvest Time Church, but fruit for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
What is bringing fruit to the kingdom of God is bringing souls to Jesus.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. When the trumpet blows on that final day, when the trumpet blows and Jesus tells his saints to come home, hallelujah, and the rapture event takes place. When that trumpet blows, chairs ain't going up.
That's right.
Cement ain't going up.
Amen.
Carpet ain't going up.
Amen.
Air conditioning ain't going up. Steeples on top of the building ain't going up.
That's right.
All these million-dollar facilities ain't going nowhere. But it's souls that will go.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is interested in, is winning the lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance.
Amen.
But how shall they hear unless someone goes and shares the gospel with them?
Amen.
Wow. I remember one of the guys I used to work along with in the jungles, a guy in South America. I had no idea what I was getting into on that mission trip. I just wanted to go and tote the pastor's Bible and serve him. And I was very young in pastoring. Hadn't been pastoring maybe 2 years. And I got an invitation to go to Guyana, South America and preach the gospel. And I'm like, well, I don't know much about missions. I'm willing to learn, like to learn. I remember what Jesus said, go. So I'm always set on go. I'm not setting on, you know, my feet are not cemented down here.
That's right.
When the Lord said go, I'm ready to go.
Amen.
But I remember one of my brothers telling me that he was headed down the river down in the jungles of Guyana, South America. And as his boat went by, he said that there was a lady standing in the water, and she was just waving her hand, like something was wrong. They passed her by, and he said, the Holy Spirit said, go back and see what she needs. So he told his driver, turn the boat around, I need to see what that lady has to say. They go back and they meet the lady, and he says, hey, is everything all right? What's going on? She said, I've been watching you come down this river for years. And she said, you pass my village every time. She said, when are you going to come preach Jesus to us? So he said, ma'am, I got a meeting. I got an attend. I give you my word on the way back through. I'm stopping by here and I'll tell your people about Jesus. She's flagging him down. I want to hear. I want to hear. He gets in his boat, goes on down the river, and there's a man standing out there in the water. Way on down the river. Turn the boat around. Go back and see what he wants. He turned the boat around, get back there, said, sir, what's wrong? Everything okay? He said, sir, same thing. I've been watching you come by this river for years. You've been passing my village up. He said, when will you come and tell my people about Jesus? Wow. He said, sir, I make a promise to you. On the way back, I'll be stopping by here. Mm-hmm. He kept his word. And guess what? When he got off the boat and started preaching Jesus, people were ready to receive Jesus.
Amen.
But we are passing so many people by on the way to do what we do every day. On the way to work, on the way to this place, on the way to go get pick up some groceries. We pass them people by that need to hear about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You know why you're sitting here this morning?
Because someone told me.
Or somebody told you somewhere in your life, whether you was a kid or at work, somebody told you about Jesus.
Amen.
And you listened. You called on the Lord. That's why you're sitting here today. Because you're saved. You're born again. Hallelujah. And you're interested. I'm telling you, y'all, we all got to get employed by Jesus to go win somebody to Jesus.
Amen.
I did a study on this one time. Because I realized sometimes a lot of people in the body of Christ, not to condemn anybody, but we haven't led anybody to the Lord. We might have been saved 50 years. How many of you led to the Lord? I ain't never led nobody. You know why? You ain't tried.
That's right.
Have you sowed the word? If you sow the word, sometimes you don't win them, but somebody else wins them. But at least you have to sow the word. I found out through a study one time that death happens to somebody on planet Earth every 1.67 seconds. Somebody's heart stopped beating. On planet Earth, every 1.67 seconds, somebody dies here. While I'm speaking here on a 30-minute message this morning, there's going to be probably 3,000 people going to die while I'm preaching. Before every 2 seconds, somebody's life is gone. When life is gone, then comes the judgment. There's no more mercy after you stop breathing.
That's right.
The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed to man once to die, and then cometh the judgment.
Right.
As soon as we die, we are fixing to get judged, and we will spend eternity either in heaven or in a place called hell.
That's right.
What about hell? Is hell real? Is heaven real? What did Jesus say about it? Jesus said, there is a heaven. And if you believe in me, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life in this place called the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
Thank God, that's where born again people go after death. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Whenever you die, you're going to leave this body. Your spirit's going to leave this body. The real you is not what I'm looking at. The real you is on the inside of this body. This is just a shell. Whenever you stop breathing, this shell's going to turn right back to dust from which it was created. It will go back to dust. But the real you, your spirit and your soul is eternal. And after you die, your spirit and your soul will spend eternity either in heaven or hell. They never die.
That's right.
That is why you were created in the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
Is heaven real? Sure. Should everybody want to go? Sure. It's beautiful there. The benefits are outstanding. Everybody should want to go to heaven. But they can't go to heaven if they don't know Jesus paid the price on Calvary to die for their sin and rose on the third day. If they believe in him, they can go into the kingdom.
Amen.
If they don't know that, they can't go.
That's right.
Unless they accept Jesus. Muhammad won't get you there.
That's right. Come on.
Hinduism, they're 330 million gods. Not one of them can get you into the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
All these Buddhist idols can't move a finger. These idols The Bible says in Psalm 115, David said he described the idols to the children of Israel because Israel had got off the path and started serving idols. He said they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have hands, but they can't move. They have feet, they can't walk. They have eyes, they can't see. They are dead. These idols are dead. But Jesus is alive.
Amen.
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 He died, but that ain't the end of the story. That's why the gospel includes, you must believe he rose on the third day. Thank God he rose on the third day. The Bible says our faith would be in vain if he had died, but yet not rose.
That's right.
But he died and he rose.
Amen.
And because he rose, we can rise.
Amen.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
People in the world need to hear that.
Right.
And when they hear that this Savior that I'm preaching to you in Thailand tonight, or in Cambodia tonight, I'm preaching you a living God, a living Savior that died for you, sacrificed his life, gave his blood to wash away your sin. If you'll call upon him tonight, he'll save you tonight, and you'll have an experience with the living God.
Amen.
How many of y'all want to accept Jesus?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All them hands in the crowd go up. So many hands go up. I had to ask my interpreter. I said, did you interpret that right? Did you say what I said? Do they want to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. He said, yes, Pastor. I said, I just asked him one more time. He said the same thing. Same amount of hands go up. So many hands. It's like everybody in the whole crowd has lifted their hand. I said, listen, look at this. All they were waiting on was somebody to come tell them.
Amen.
The truth. The truth. When you know the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Breaking away those idols. Breaking away from them. I've seen them tear these Buddhist necklaces off of their necks and throw them into the woods. They've had to cut their wrist bracelets off of them at the Crusades because all these wrist bracelets, there were strings. That it binds them to the witch doctors inside the villages. And it gives them a tie to the devil. And when they come and they accept Jesus, I have somebody with a pair of scissors there to cut them off.
Come on.
Cut them off. Get rid of that bondage. Get rid of that tie to the devil. You don't belong to him no more. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He's your rock. He's your Redeemer. He's your Savior. Cut that mask off.
Come on.
And they do. Would y'all like to have a Bible tonight over in Thailand? There's a truck over there, an Isuzu truck. It's got 500 Bibles on it. Go to that little truck over there, and they'll hand you one. About how to write. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
They about started fighting over who was going to get a Bible. I said, this wouldn't happen in America. I could park a truck down the road here on 441 and say, free Bibles. You know how many people would stop to get one?
None.
Y'all hear me?
Come on.
People ride right on by. Only the poor, only the hungry, only those that need the Lord, hallelujah, would pull in there. All the comfortable people in the world would pass on by.
That's right.
Come on. I got a Cadillac. I got a Porsche. I don't need that Bible. That's why the Bible said, go preach the gospel to the poor. The poor means those that are humble. The ones that are humble have a heart that they will receive the gospel when you preach it to them. Through the years, we bore much fruit for Jesus and his kingdom. In these 25 years or so of going, we've planted a lot of churches. This little church right here has planted a lot of churches. Y'all saying, I wish we'd have had one. Well, we might have could have had one, but they wouldn't have had one. We got one.
Yeah.
May not be fancy as the one down the street, but it's what I've experienced. You can have church anywhere.
Amen.
I've had church under a tree in the jungles of Guyana.
That's right.
It was called church.
That's right.
We've planted at least one church in Myanmar, 7 or more in Thailand. three in Cambodia a couple of years ago. This ministry, this church, have been faithful to support orphans since the day we've been established. We've been planting and helping orphans throughout the world. We started in Thailand. We've always supported orphans. Wherever I go, wherever I run across, if there's an orphan center nearby, we usually stop by and we see the orphans. Miss Ruth was with us, Miss Louise Bissett was with us, Emily, Kim, Steve had been with me on a trip. I hope I'm not leaving anybody out.
Sadie.
Who?
Sadie.
Sadie was with us, yeah.
Josh.
Miss Sadie, I didn't see her in the crowd, I about forgot her. But there's many, David Fowler, many have gone with me to Thailand, and I remember Ruth and them, we went by to see and preach the gospel in this village, and the first place we stopped was a meth addict. Man, y'all remember that old man? He had tar all over his hand. And we went into his little bamboo hut there. And in just a few minutes, by the grace of God, I shared Jesus with him, and he accepted Jesus. And I don't know if y'all remember it, but I got a picture of it, of David that was with us, that brought us to that village. David, he was Burmese. He had an orphan center. Anyhow, David, he was standing over there like this. And he told me afterwards, he said, "Stacy, I can't believe what just happened." He said, "I've been ministering this man for years. I couldn't get him to receive Jesus for nothing. You come into his hut in one day, and in 20 seconds, you got him to Jesus." He said, "I just can't hardly believe it." I said, "Man, it's just the right timing. The right timing." But I told him, I told this meth addict, I said, "Look, Jesus loves you enough that he'll send a man all the way from Georgia, from the United States of America. He'll send that man all the way from the U.S. to land and come to your house that you might be saved. That's how much he loves you." And that man said, "I'll receive Jesus." Times like that, but I was trying to get to the point where Ruth and the team was with us, and we walked in one lady's little bamboo hut, and one of them had two old ladies, and another one right down the road had one lady, she had two or three babies, and she was boiling something over in the corner. It was a piece of cane shoot, bamboo shoot. And what do you got to eat today, you and your kids? Bamboo shoot. Y'all ever try a bamboo shoot? It's hard. It has to be cooked, and it's still very chewy. It ain't tasty. It ain't good. That's all she had for her and her children. Well, about before our team left there, we put a good offering in her hand and told her to go down there and get her some good food for them children. We gave her enough money to probably take care of them for at least a month. But that's what we do when we go. I'm sharing this with you so you will know what we do when we go. Some people go and with me and they think, "Well, man, this is going to be like a vacation. Man, this is going to be, we're going to have a, you know, I'm getting some time off of work. We're going to go to the mission field and it's going to be a vacation. Man, I about killed some of them over there." Early in the morning, late at night, preaching the gospel. Preach it all day, get an hour's rest at the hotel, load them all back up, go preach a night crusade out in the hills. Winning the lost. Winning the lost. At all costs, we winning the lost. Well, not only are we doing it overseas, but we're doing it here in Morgan County.
Amen.
10 people got born again at the jail last week.
Yes.
The ladies ministry leading many women in that have been incarcerated in our local jails. They making an impact, bringing them to Christ, bringing them to Christ. I commend y'all for what you're doing here in our city. I wish we could get more to walk to the altar down here. But we're going where they are. We're going to the streets. We're going to the jails. We're going out where the people are. We're traveling thousands and thousands of miles to get to them, that they would know Jesus is Lord. Bibles. I don't even know the correct number on Bibles that we have bought and purchased, that people could have what you have in their hands overseas. The Lahu, the Lezu, the Karen, the Mon. There's so many different tribes in Thailand, and each one of them speak a different language. You can't just write one Bible and they'd be able to read it. People have tried to interpret it into their tribal languages. And when we can find Bibles in their language, we usually try to buy them. They can range anywhere from, usually about now, everything's about around at least $10 a piece. That's about the cheapest Bible you're going to get. And I don't like buying the cheapest Bible, because half the time the writing is so small you can't even read it. I don't like to do that. I like to give somebody something they can use. Amen?
Amen.
But we've purchased, I know, over 20,000 Bibles and distributed it in crusades into churches. When we plant churches, we also bring Bibles that they can have when they come in, that they can have a Bible to look at while the preacher's preaching. So, just wanted to give you a little knowledge on what this church, it may look small to you, but we are impacting the world. Don't ever think this church is insignificant in the eyes of God or the kingdom of God. It may not be but 25, 30, 40 people here on a good day, but our church is way bigger than what you see. Our church is international. I'm pastoring people, evangelizing for people, loving people all over this world. I got more doors open to me than I have time to go through. They're begging me to come to Myanmar, all over Cambodia, back over, all over Thailand. I don't have enough arms and legs to get to where they all are. That's why Jesus said, don't say there's 4 months until the harvest. He said, look at the fields. They already ripe for harvest.
Amen.
He said, go get it. Go get the harvest.
Amen.
You got to realize when you look out over the world and you see people, that's harvest.
That's right.
That's harvest. Souls mean everything to Jesus. You were created in His image and likeness, and those in the world, no matter what color they are, no matter what country they are in, no matter what they were brought up in believing, Jesus loved them and wants them saved. And He's counting on the church to go preach this gospel of the kingdom that they might be saved.
Amen.
They got an opportunity if they hear.
That's right.
If they don't hear, the Lord will be the final judge that day. I've been blessed and honored that God will give me an opportunity. Out of all these trips, 47 to Thailand, 10 plus to Africa or more, I've not missed one trip because I didn't have money. I started with no money. Oftentimes I go with no money or start a trip with no money. How many of y'all know Delta likes money?
Right.
How many of y'all know that you don't board that plane unless you've got a ticket?
That's
right. How many of y'all know them tickets cost money?
That's right.
You may be handsome, you may be a preacher, and you may say all the right things, but you ain't got no ticket, you ain't getting on there.
That's right.
So anyhow, I'm just saying, God has been faithful.
Amen.
To supply through you, this church, my missions partners down in South Georgia, the farmers, the cotton farmers, the peanut farmers, they give. Churches have been a blessing to me. Central Church, Covenant Church, Ambrose Church, Unity Church, other churches have joined in and helped us continue to go over 25 years.
Amen.
And I'm so honored and humbled to be able to be called to go. So I just want you to know when we go, we're doing what God has called us to do.
Amen.
We're doing what He called us to do. If we don't do it, we'll die.
Right.
This church would be gone. So one of my greatest callings is to go. I'm excited about going tomorrow. Woo! Can't wait. I get back 1 month, I fly again. Am I going to have the money to fly again? Yeah. Jesus is going to supply.
Amen.
He's going to supply. Amen. I don't have to beg Him to supply what He's called me to do.
That's right.
He supplies it. I love what Ron Hart Bunkey said. He said every time God called him to do something big, he said he never looked in his pockets to see if he had enough money to do it.
That's right.
He said he looked in God's pockets.
Yes.
He said God called him to do it. God would supply. It was his bill.
That's right.
And God would pay it in full. Soul winning is one of the greatest things and greatest joys you will ever have. I just want to encourage you this morning. Continue to do what you can to bring others to Jesus. We go down to the Madison Assistant Living Home on Mondays, and our number one assignment is to make sure these people that are 75, 85, 90, and 95, and there's one down there that's 98.
Oh, wow.
One just left here last week that was 97. Our assignment is God has given us a platform and a door to make sure they know Jesus is Lord and accept Him before they leave here.
Amen.
At 97, the clock, we know it's soon. Our assignment is to make sure when their heart stops that they have their name written in the Lamb. That's why we go. We don't go for money. We go for one reason. Make sure they know Jesus. We go to the jail, we don't get paid. We go that they would know Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. When we go to Africa tomorrow, oh, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. When I go back to Asia a month later, I'm going to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
And they're going to come. One day we're going to get to heaven, and the Lord's going to say, y'all see that little old bitty church down there on Madison, Georgia that y'all passed by? You see that group over there? That's the one they brought into this kingdom.
Hallelujah.
I love that song Ray Bolt used to sing. Thank you. And during that song, he said he met a missionary. Someone walked up to him. He was a missionary. He said, I want to thank you for bringing the gospel to me. I'm here because you came to me. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, man. Ain't gonna be nothing bigger in heaven than hear somebody say, I'm here because you told me about Jesus. I want to encourage you to go tell somebody about Jesus this week. Jesus is coming. You have an opportunity while you breathe to bring somebody into heaven with you. Don't go alone. Take somebody with you. Amen. Stand with me. Noah couldn't save the world, but he had eight, which was all family members, in the ark when the flood came. Wow. I want to encourage you out there today to go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Love this world just like God did, and preach the gospel that every creature would know Jesus is Lord, that He died and rose again. If you're out there, it don't matter if you're a drug addict, a drunkard, whatever type of sin you're living in, Jesus can forgive you of your sin. If you will believe in Him and turn from your wicked ways, you will be born again. Jesus loves you. Give Him your life, and He'll give you one worth living. We love you. God bless you.